Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel, where I am joined by my colleague Burkhard Varnholt for a conversation about the state of global markets and considerations when it comes to positioning your portfolio. So with that, Burkhard, welcome back. While we've taken a long summer break, much, of course, has happened in the markets, politics, as well as the global economy. So let me suggest that to restart our regular Viewpoint series, we briefly touch on all three of these topics today, beginning with the markets. And the global markets rally during the first half of 2024 strongly supported your upbeat Roaring 20 scenario, which does emphasize the role of productivity-driven growth. Yet some of that strong momentum seems to have slowed in recent times. So we did see a sharp correction in early August and a second one which followed last week to begin the month of September. So what's your take on this recent market activity and your outlook from here?
You know, Dan, it seems to me that the recent corrections were mostly caused by the unwinding of the large yen carry trade. What happened, in my view, was this. For years, near zero interest rates devalued the Japanese yen and made it a highly attractive funding currency. As time passed, investors from all over the world piled on to the same profitable carry trade, which was borrow in yen and reinvest in high-yielding, mostly dollar assets. Most carry traders chose to place their bets in the Nasdaq and the S&P and the Magnificent Seven. Some, of course, also bought funds in the Nikkei. And, you know, that was fine, like all carry trades carry on, until the spread between the yen and dollar yields started to narrow over recent months by a total of 100 basis points because the Fed turned more dovish and the BOJ suggested to raise rates. As a result, the yen-dollar carry trade turned sour, and this forced leveraged carry traders to close their positions, putting selling pressure on the Nasdaq, the S&P 500, and the Nikkei, while they also reversed the weakness of the yen. I guess the carry trade is not fully washed out. However, and this matters most, the U.S. economy remains strong, and Japan's central bank remains dovish. Thus, even if last week's correction was a second episode of this great unwind, we don't expect a third or a fourth episode to be similarly extreme. Instead, we note that analysts expect revenues and earnings per share to post new all-time highs in the coming third quarter earnings season. Profit margins are also expected to stay at record highs thanks to rising productivity. And yes, the unemployment rate has inched up over the past year, not least because of productivity gains. But no, that does not reflect the weakening of the economy at large. Permanent layoffs, once you dig into the numbers, are muted. Wages, private incomes are rising. CEOs plan to hire, as they normally do when stock prices are rising. We also noted that real GDP growth was revised up by the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now tracking, and real consumer spending revised up in Q3 by a whopping 3.5%. Aggregate weekly hours hit a record high in August. Strong consumer spending is driven by record high private household incomes, as well as, importantly, very high capital gains by senior citizens. And lastly, we also remind ourselves of the old adage, don't fight the Fed. As the Fed seems determined to lower the Fed funds rate, it may well boost U.S. economic growth even further. So, look, the bottom line is this. The U.S. economy remains the strongest economy in the world. It's about to get another boost from the U.S. Fed. Rising productivity is a key to profit margins and also to the normalization in the labor market. And those are just reasons why the U.S. will continue to attract global capital, and investors should really look through these wobbles of the great unwind or even view them is buying opportunities.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for that recap of the factors that have driven global market activity over the past month and that positive assessment you've provided to our listeners. I do want to quickly move into politics with the U.S. presidential debate freshly behind us. We're speaking the morning after. So, Burkhard, how do you suggest investors factor politics into their portfolio decision-making?
I think I'll be very brief on that. For one, because U.S. companies' towering achievements, like their global IT tech leadership, their record-high profits and profit margins, the world's deepest and most efficient capital markets, all of these were neither created by the White House, nor will they end there. The U.S. is the most competitive economy in the world, and its stock market reflects that. Seems to us that whoever wins the White House is unlikely to derail this fundamental advantage of U.S. companies. The only thing markets have always preferred, frankly, is gridlock over a sweep. Good enough. That looks like a likely outcome, at least for now. And once November 5th lies behind us, there could well follow a center rally fueled by the clarity of the election outcome, the beginning of the year's most important shopping and Christmas season, and money becoming cheaper again.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for your upbeat read of the U.S. economy. With that, I'd like you to share with our listeners and our clients your two cents on the world economy, the global economy, which does not seem to match the U.S.'s economic prowess.
Well, you're very right to point that out. I mean, let's start with China, which has really been in a huge real estate crisis, which has been going on for 4 years now. Blimey, Chinese consumers are depressed, and I understand them, because many of them have had half their net worth being wiped out. The Chinese government has concluded, and I think rightly so, that there's just no point in trying to cheer up consumers or stimulate them. In any case, it's already squeezed by the mountains of debt they issued in recent years. Instead, they decided to subsidize its manufacturing sector and dump cheap goods on global markets, which effectively they're doing. And that's boosting China's export while imports remain weak. So, China's pain is the U.S.'s gain again, at least for now, as the world's second largest economy, China, is exporting deflation around the world. Meanwhile, Eurozone economies have been running on fumes. While France's Olympics, I love them, and I hope you also followed them, while the France's Olympics helped, at least the French economy, they're weighed down by the deindustrialization of Germany. There's no sugarcoating of that. It's its biggest economy. Having said that, things are not all bleak in Europe. I mean, its stock markets are up also this year, even though they lost some of their shine during the summer. Europe's structural weaknesses, which are burdensome regulations, heterogeneous markets, and high power prices and taxes, they are adequately reflected in substantially lower valuations and bond yields than in the U.S. And meanwhile, I'd point out that some emerging markets around the world are really taking advantage of the rising new global order. We see much upside in the Philippines, Malaysia. We also note the very solid growth in the GCC, in Europe, in places like Poland or Greece. And equally, note that India and Southeast Asia seem to enjoy a secular upswing. They're also trying to capture some of the business which China is arguably losing. And as global supply chains are being reshored, they are some of the long-term beneficiaries of all of this. So, all said, my most important message is to stay invested at all times. That's what I'd conclude with then.
Well, Burkhard, thank you very much for dropping by the podcast today to spend some time with our listeners, our clients. Very productive catch-up and assessment today of the global macro and market environment, and do very much look forward to resuming with our conversations in the weeks ahead, as, of course, there will be plenty to talk about. Though, thank you again, Burkhard, for your time today.
Thank you, Dan. Pleasure as always. Have a good rest of the week. All the best.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.